you for all of those that are joining in. And we give the Lord praise. We're so excited. I want to tell you, this series is very special to my life because I had to have turnaround in my life early on as a teenager. When I fell in love with Jesus, the Lord gave me his joy. But I want to tell you, the atmosphere in my home and the atmosphere around some of the buddies, the ball team and everything was very, very negative. You know, it's a negative world out there. And so, you know, but I was kind of raised under a work love style and performance love. And, you know, so there was a lot of times that I didn't please. And so there was an atmosphere of not being pleased. But I want to tell you something. The Lord turned my heart around. And one of the ways he did this was with thanksgiving. When he showed me the principles of thanksgiving as a teenager, and I began to practice it, it changed my whole attitude. It changed my outlook. It changed the negative stuff that I was raised with. I was transformed inside out. I became a different person because of the principle of thanksgiving. And it just opened me up so much to the spiritual realm of what God was saying and God was doing. I was much more aware of his presence. It was a whole lot easier for me to hear God, and it was a whole lot easier for me to fellowship with God, and it gave me a lot of hope about my own future. And so I'm telling you, this is a powerful principle, the principle of thanksgiving. And it's not just for a few, or not just for those that are struggling. It's for everybody all the time. And so this is the truth about thanksgiving. And so one of the things that the Lord had me do early on as a teenager, and it was a part of my book of remembrance that I've talked to you about, my spiritual journal or notebook that I started about with my quiet times and the meeting with the Lord, is that he had me start a blessings journal. And there was just a section, because he was teaching me about the power of thanksgiving, that I was just to write down everything that I saw God do in my life that day, or everything that God said to me, or everything God did, or everything the Lord did through me. And so, you know, when you start a blessings journal and you begin to focus on the goodness of God, it gives you a pair of glasses to see God better. You're able to see him. And you're able to see him in all kinds of situations through your day, and you're able to see his heartbeat, and you're able to see needs. I'm telling you, it just causes your heart, listen to me, to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God when you practice thanksgiving. And you cannot practice thanksgiving too much. I know there are people, and even the world talks about, well, thanksgiving is just being polite. You be polite. No, I want to tell you, it's so much more than that. Okay? It's transforming. And so I want you, and if you haven't been practicing thanksgiving as a lifestyle, I want you to start a blessings journal and let it be a part of your spiritual journal, your spiritual diary or your spiritual journal. And, you know, begin to record what you see God do and everything God does in your life or what he says to you. And, you know, and then you go back over it in the mornings. This is what he had me do. In the mornings and at night before I went to bed, he had me go back over that list of blessings or count your many blessings, name them one by one, go back over them and just practice giving thanks to him about it. Well, it doesn't take long doing that before you develop a mindset of thanksgiving, and that is change. When you renew your mind from a negative mindset, a complaining mindset, to a thanksgiving mindset, I want to tell you there's a lot of positive in that because you see God. And it just gives you that glasses. So I'm encouraging you, I'm encouraging the body, start a blessings journal. Now, I had to do this for a number of years, detailing like that, before it became such a part of my lifestyle that I didn't have to do it that way. But I did recognize that when I would come under seasons of special attack, that I would need to go back and start recording again, because you know what? It's a spiritual exercise that availeth much. And the Bible says physical exercise avails a little. We need that. That's good. But spiritual exercise avails much. This is a spiritual exercise, and the Lord loves it. So give the Lord what he loves, and all the people said. And so having a heart of thanksgiving every day in every way maximizes his life in you. Like we described in last week's message, it's the entrance ramp, okay? Hey, we live in a concrete city. You know about highways and entrance ramps, but it's the entrance ramp to the love lane. And we're supposed to operate and stay and operate and move in the love lane. But it's the gate to the love lane. And so thanksgiving has a lot of power. David Wilkerson was speaking to my staff one time, and we were just my staff and him. It was very small, and I just asked him to share his heart, share some things with us. And one of the stories that he said, thanksgiving is an everyday heartbeat of a believer. And so you know where I got that part from. And so, but he told a story about how that one of the old-timers that he knew, a preacher, was preaching a revival and out in the country, and it was a church, a small church, and he was preaching on the power of thanksgiving. And after the morning service, and it was a type of church where they'd have a service, and then they'd have dinner on the grounds and another service. And after the dinner on grounds, he looked down there across the pasture, because they were out in the country, and he saw a beautiful little pond, and he decided to walk and look at that pond before the next service, before he was up to preach again. And as he's walking across the pasture, since he was new there, he didn't know. Everybody else knew, but he didn't know that that's where the big bull was kept. Everybody else knew, not don't go in that pasture, okay, because he was a meanie. But he didn't know, and so here he is just walking across the pasture, and all of a sudden he hears the snorts and sounds, and he turns around and he sees a bull charging him. And he looks at the lake, he looks back at the fence, and he knows there's no way I can outrun this bull. And so, but what hit him, and so he's thankful that he was preaching on thanksgiving and the power of thanksgiving. David Wilkerson said that what he did, what he was prompted to do, because he knew he couldn't outrun the bull, was begin to give thanks. And so right there in that pasture with the bull charging down on him, he just lifted up his hands and began to give thanks to God. And as he was esteeming the Lord and honoring the Lord, he heard a sound and turned around, and the bull stopped, put on the brakes in a hurry, and turned around, completely changed his attitude and walked away. Now, he had a fresh illustration that night for the power of thanksgiving. And this is how he described it. He said the very demons in the power of the air motivated this bull to destroy him. Does that sound right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he said, but when I began to practice thanksgiving unto the Lord, he said, thanksgiving, the enemy is allergic to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving repels the powers of darkness. And so the very demons that were motivating this bull to destroy me, when I began to give thanks to God, they're allergic to it. They ran. It's a weapon of our warfare. And they ran. And the bull became docile. Now, I want to tell you, that's a powerful illustration. I've never forgotten that. But I want to tell you, what I'm saying to you is that thanksgiving, you cannot do this too much. When you think that you're going overboard, it's probably about right. Believers ought to be the most thankful, the most positive, the most celebrating people in all the world. We ought to be known for it, because instruction in Scripture is for us to give thanks a little while, all the while, all the time. Every day, in every way, give thanks to Him. And so, this is why we're calling it the spark plug to believing, to your faith, is thanksgiving. And so, this adventure journey, and see, your walk with the Lord should never be boring. As a matter of fact, I described in the last sermon about the danger of the boredom cycle. That's when eyes begin to look and begin to window shop sin. That's when you become discontent with your walk with the Lord and you begin to search for other things to fill. I want to tell you, this is what thanksgiving is so good about. It keeps you in tune with the Lord. And it keeps you in the enjoyment of the Lord. You know, your journey in the Lord is a journey of enjoyment. It's a journey of enjoyment. If you're not enjoying the Lord, it's one of the ways that we describe whether or not you're loving God. Are you enjoying God? Are you enjoying Him? Because I want to tell you, He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's majestic. He's personal. He's very personal in His love life. And He wants you to know Him better and better and deeper and deeper and greater and greater. And you'll never outgrow that. And so I'm telling you, it's so exciting. It's supposed to be an exciting journey, a journey of adventure. And what it is, it's being fulfilled and being content in Christ. And so I ask the question, I've asked it before, I'm asking it today, are you content with Jesus? Is Jesus enough to satisfy your soul? Are you fulfilled in the Lord? Because I want to tell you, that protects you. There's a great protection in that. It keeps the boredom cycle at bay. Somebody say amen. And so what I'm asking you to do is to cultivate grace. And there's an element in Thanksgiving that's very vital in your journey with the Lord. And you know what it is? It's humbling yourself. You know, we teach our little ones, be thankful. And we teach them, you say thank you. And sometimes you'll see they kind of don't want to, but you know, because you know, you have to humble yourself to give thanks. You have to humble yourself before the Lord to give thanks. But I want to tell you, humility before the Lord is a key element to walking with God. When you humble yourself before God and man, God raises you up. And when God raises you up, no man puts you down. Do you understand that, how powerful that is? It's a powerful principle of your walk with God. And so it's very, very important that we walk in humility, okay, and we practice esteeming Him. And it's important to esteem Him. What I mean to esteem the Lord is to glorify the Lord. It's to magnify the Lord. It's to celebrate the Lord as being the supreme, the number one, the center of your life. Are you with me on that? Well, I want to tell you, it's not something you just mentally acknowledge. You have to express that. And we need to express it, to be thankful unto Him. And when we're thankful unto the Lord, listen to me. It's so easy to be thankful to people, to other people, when we're thankful to the Lord. When we are not practicing thanksgiving to God, you'll find yourself hitting a pause about being thankful to people. Now, I want to tell you, it's a two-way journey. Okay? We're a two-way people. But I want to tell you, how you are before the Lord will soon be revealed how you are before people. How you are before people will be revealing that's how you are before the Lord. Okay, well, I didn't expect a thunderous amen on that. But I want to tell you, please let that sink in. Just an example. If I'm ungrateful to someone here at the body, if I begin to be ungrateful toward them, then you know what? It's real easy for me to become negative toward them, to start complaining about them. But guess what? If I'm operating like that, do you know where I back up the truck and find out? I'm not being thankful to the Lord. Maybe I'm taking the Lord for granted. Maybe I'm complaining that maybe, you know, Lord, you know, you bless this one, where's my... Come on. You see, that's the off-ramp. Thanksgiving is the on-ramp. And so that's where we need to practice, okay? Practice thanksgiving. When you pray, when you're a praising, He's a raising. See, you heard me say that. That's part of this series. When you're a praising, He's a raising. When you praise Him, He will raise you. And so I know complaining's human. It's very, very human of you. And so if you have a problem being negative or complaining, well, welcome to the human race. But I want to give you some good news. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, and He brings Jesus life to you. He brings kingdom life. He brings abundant life. And abundant life and kingdom life is opposite of the world life. And so I want to tell you, He'll take you from complaining to praising. And that's the power of transformation, and that's what He loves to do. And so complaining's human, it's natural, but guess what? It's all negative. And many think, well, I've done it all my life. I guess I'm all right. No, you'd probably be a whole lot better off if you didn't park in the complaining parking lot. Okay? You say, well, it must be okay because everybody else is doing it. Well, there's a lot of world people around us. in the world, I don't expect worldly people to act like Jesus. But you know what? There is an understanding, an expectation in Scripture for Jesus' people to act like Jesus. And so, don't tell me, well, it's just human. No, if you know Christ, you're not just human. There's a Spirit of the living God in you, and He produces Jesus' life. Jesus' fruit. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, complaining's not in there. You may think that you have a gift. Well, if it's criticism, it's not a gift. Okay? Amen, Papa T. Amen. All right. You're good preaching. All right, I'll preach on. Well, so, see, if the majority complains, it doesn't mean it's okay. It may be normal to the world, but it's not normal. It's subnormal to citizens of heaven. The Bible says that complaining is not just natural, that it's dangerous. 1 Corinthians 10:10, this scripture's in your notes. Nor discontentedly complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer. Now, wait a minute. I'm showing you. See, this is real clear in Scripture. I don't have time to go through everything about it. But I want to tell you, when you're discontent and you complain, and it's talking about an example, and those examples are for us, okay, that you know what? They actually got on the highway of death. They allowed the destroyer to come into their camp, into their meeting, into their life because of being discontent and complaining. There is a connection. All right. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant. Okay? And cautious at all times. In other words, it means to be on the alert. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking whom? Seeking someone that he may devour. All right. That's an illustration. Now, if you were Mr. Coyote, or you were Mr. Bobcat, or Mr. Fox, you would be hearing the Burger King song, I'm going to make it my way. You would be hearing McDonald's, their song, oh, come on up and get away. You deserve a break today. You got fast food waiting on you. Because that's the sound of a little baby rabbit in distress. And to a bobcat or a coyote or a fox, that's McDonald's. That's fast food fast. And they come running. Now, that's what 1 Peter 5:8 is referring to. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:10 points out. Would you listen to me? Let me make this clear. When you complain, you're giving the destroyer an invitation into your life. How about 1 Peter 5:8? Are you ready? This roaring lion that's roaring around, do you know what he's looking for? He's looking for a victim. Do you know what victims do? Victims cry. Victims complain. Victims murmur. Victims are negative. And when you're negative, you see, the enemy's looking for the weak. The enemy's looking for the wounded. The enemy's looking for the hurting. See, this makes it a whole lot. The Mr. Coyote doesn't have to disperse very much energy when he comes upon one that's a victim. Negative complaining makes you a target. Your complaining lets the enemy know, I'm a good one to attack right now. It's an invitation to darkness to come bring destruction to your life. Let me get on the other way, because this is a two-way street. It's a two-way highway. It runs south, but it also runs north. You want to hear the north? Your thanksgiving repels the enemy. He's allergic to thanksgiving. He's allergic to praise. Complaining causes you to remain in trouble. You say, now, Brother Tim, you're kind of putting your spin on it. No, I'm not, because I want to tell you something. The Hebrew translation for complain, it means this, to spend the night. And so if you think you got frogs in your life and you go about complaining, you know what you're saying? I want to spend another night with the frogs. It causes you to abide in your trouble. That's why that I can say things like this: when you're appraising, he's a reigning. He's a raising. When you're praising, he's a raising. When you're complaining, you're remaining. You see that? Complaining grieves the Holy Spirit. Man, I don't quite have time because we're going to have some testimony service, but in Numbers 21, you'll remember that the children of Israel, even though they had experienced God's miracles and God's provision all through their Exodus journey out of Egypt, they soon forgot. Whoop, wait a minute. That's important. Because I want to tell you, when we forget how good he is, and Thanksgiving helps us remember how good he is, when we forget his goodness, that's why you need a book of remembrance. That's why you need a Thanksgiving, a blessings journal. But when we forget his faithfulness, and they forgot, and they kept murmuring and speaking against God, and the complaints are unbelief. Their complaints are viewed as unbelief and a lack of faith towards God's heart. And you know what? It grieves him. And you know what? It grieves them today. When we're complaining and we're negative, it's an expression of a lack of faith. We forget his faithfulness. We have to be reminded. Hello, humans. Hello, saints. You got to be reminded. You got to renew and reprogram your computer, and you need to practice Thanksgiving as a way of life, because Thanksgiving helps you focus on God's goodness. The fiery serpents came to them. Many were bitten. Many died. Now, Jesus always makes a way. And there's a beautiful picture of Jesus when they took that cross and had that brass serpent on it. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer to whatever serpent comes in your life. He's the conqueror. And all they had to do was to look and live. And I want to tell you, when you look to Jesus and live, he rescues you. And those that did were rescued. And so murmuring and complaining is negative. Hey, if you're murmuring and complaining, you're in unbelief. It's an invitation to the enemy. You're not believing the report of the Lord. Whose report are you believing? Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report will you agree with? Because if you're going to believe the Lord's report, you got to say what God says about it. Worry is an expression of unbelief. Did that hit a little tough? Do I have Colossians 3:15? Colossians 3:15 says this, and let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. And look what it says, and be thankful. Appreciate, giving praise to God always. And so, let the peace of God rule. Now, when the peace of God is ruling in your life, then you know what? Let me tell you something. It settles all the doubt, speculation, and fears that attack when peace is ruling. Now, if peace is not ruling, those things can have greater impact. Okay? And so we are to live in peace and walk in peace, not just when you're full of trouble. Man, I want to tell you, this is your birthright. We're to walk in peace and we're to live in peace. And I want to tell you, I'm going to say it real quick, real easy. When you're at peace, practice giving thanks, because that helps keep you in peace. When you're not at peace, give thanks, because thanksgiving is the gate, it's the entrance ramp to peace. Do you see that? And so peace and thanksgiving walk together. They hold hands. And so let's look to Jesus and live. Look to Jesus for rescue and redemption. And instead of complaining, we can choose to give thanks for what God's already done. When you're in a battle, give thanks. Praise him. And guess what? He'll do the raising when you do the praising. We'll arise to victory. And that's why that humility and dependence on the Lord is such a gate to the door of what God wants to do in your life. Thankfulness unlocks God's grace in all areas of your life. And so that's why it's very, very important. Now look, Romans 1:21 says this, and we cover this a lot at this church, but because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. And so I want to tell you, this is a regression. This is a degression. This is a going away from God. And so this is how it happens. This verse explains how people get away from God. All right. So we're going to take a good look at it. And so they knew, when they knew and recognized him as God, they didn't honor and glorify him. So they forgot. Okay, they made a choice to forget. They began to esteem and honor someone else, even though they knew and recognized that he was God. They began to esteem something else. And so they forgot him. They didn't esteem him. And what happens after that is that they developed foolish thoughts. If you're not focused on the Lord and you're not esteeming the Lord, your mind is available for foolish thinking. Foolish reasoning can come. Godless thinking can come. And when the godless thinking comes, guess what? Vain imaginations can come up. And so I want to tell you, it goes from thoughts to imaginations. That's the way it regresses. It degresses from thoughts, dark thoughts to dark imaginations. Okay? And their senseless minds were darkened. What that means is that they developed a dark heart. And so real quick, I'm going to just tell you again. This is the heading south away from God. Is that you forget him. You forget him because you don't esteem him. You don't honor him. You don't glorify him. And they didn't esteem him, and so they developed foolish thoughts. Foolish thoughts had a place to land. Stupid thoughts, dark thoughts come. Those are the little missiles, all right, the arrows that come. But you don't let them land when you're focused on God. There's a divine protection in that. Your focus is on him and not on those thoughts. And it's easy to recognize them. It's easy to reject them when you're esteeming God. Is that clear? And so what happens then is that, you know what, those vain imaginations come, and the thoughts and the imaginations come after it, and you know what happens? They get a darkened heart. And so, but that highway goes both ways. When it heads north toward God, we can do that. It shows us what we can do to stay close to God, to stay in touch with God. It's to practice remembering him by esteeming him, honoring him, glorifying him, magnifying him, and we do that by giving thanks to him. Practice thanksgiving as a way of life. And you know what happens when you're in thanksgiving and you're esteeming the Lord? Guess what comes? Wisdom thoughts. Not foolish thoughts. Wisdom thoughts come to you. And what happens to the imaginations in your heart? They're not dark, they're light. Hope comes. Hey, hope imaginations come to your heart, because when you're focused on the Lord, you're able to hear the Lord, you're able to hear the Lord's heartbeat, and he puts on the big screen in your heart what he wants to say and do in your life, and you have hope. You see, thanksgiving, esteeming, thanksgiving, hope. I want to tell you, that's powerful. And what happens is, to your heart, is that your heart, instead of being darkened, is being enlightened. Let me explain an enlightened heart to you. Your heart's more sensitive to God. Because I want to tell you, what you forget, you become insensitive to. Okay? What you forget, you become hardened to. But what you practice remembering, you become sensitive to. Hey, you want your heart to follow after God. And I want to tell you, that's where that thanksgiving and esteeming God, glorifying God, and receiving wisdom thoughts and hope expectations come to your heart. And I want to tell you, that's what God wants to do, because then your heart's more sensitive to him. It's easier to hear him. It's easier to see him. It's easier to recognize him. And it's also easier to recognize darkness when it comes so that you can resist it. As a result of the lack of gratitude, wrong focus, wrong direction came. People's hearts were darkened. And their reasoning, their thought processes became futile, became foolish. And they paved the way for deeper levels of darkness. Is your heart hardened toward God, or is it becoming sensitive toward God? You're the one that makes the choice. by what you focus on. This parallel truth goes both ways. Years ago, on my staff, I had a retired pastor and his wife come and join me, and they were on my staff. They were a precious gift to me, precious gift to the church. They had ministered all their lives, and they were at our church serving, and they were precious to me. And I became close to them, and the pastor's wife, she shared with me one day in a meeting, just me and the pastor and his wife, we were just visiting. We got close, and she trusted me with something. She says, I'm going to tell you something that only my husband knows. I'm going to tell you something I've never told anybody else in all the years of ministry. I said, lay it on me. She said, I'm a depressed person. I've been depressed my whole life. Talking with her a little bit, it was from some events when she was little. You understand how that can happen. And she said, all these years of ministry, she said, it's almost like I have to put on a mask every time before I go into the church. And I have to play this role, and I have to put on this mask to be the pastor's wife. But all the time while I'm smiling and dealing with people, I've got sadness in my heart, and I've never been able to break the sadness in my heart. There's a number of ways the Lord can minister to people. What the Lord gave me for her at that time is that I want you to start a blessings journal. You ever heard that before? Yes, because that's what we're talking about. And in this blessings journal, I want you to write down everything that you see God do, everything God says to you, every way the Lord uses you. I want you to write it down. A.M. and P.M., take a period of time and practice giving thanks to God for everything that He's done, everything that He said, and then you start giving thanks to Him for who He is. You do this A.M. and P.M., and let's meet again. Well, I'm just going to tell you, the story is, after a few weeks, she got up in front of the church and she said, this has set me free. She said, for the first time in my life, I stand before you and say that I'm a free woman. And I've known that the joy of the Lord was in here, but now it gets out. Is that a great testimony? Well, I want to tell you, the only thing that I gave her at that time was to do a blessings journal and to practice it. And she did. And you know what? Part of her life message after that was teaching people how to develop a blessings journal and how to practice thanksgiving as a way of life. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely. I want to tell you, that's so important. Much more surely. More than enough, way overboard, overbounds, will those who receive God's overflowing grace, the free gift of righteousness. And so with the overflowing grace, that's a gift from God. Do you deserve it? Do you earn it? No, it's received as a gift. And the free gift of righteousness, when you take this in one hand and free gift of righteousness in the other, it makes a 1-2 punch that will transform you. God does it. You don't make it happen. God does it. And so this is why we preach on grace. This is why we preach on the free gift of righteousness. Because when we focus and esteem and celebrate Him, and we allow this to become a part of the innermost part of our being, the Lord is transforming us and renewing us, and He causes us to reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It's always through Jesus. He gives it. He does it. But I want to tell you, this puts us in the love lane to receive what He wants us to be and to do what He wants us to do. That's our Jesus. Now, we have an entrance ramp here. Do I have any of the verses with that? No? Yes? No? Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay, thank you. As one man's trespass, one man's false step and falling away led to condemnation for all men. We know that's speaking of Adam. Adam's sin put sin in our blood. Okay? You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. And that comes from Adam. Okay? So one man's act of righteousness, who is that? That's Jesus. To the acquittal and right standing with God and freedom life. I put freedom in there, but that's what it means. Freedom life for all men and women too. And so that is talking about Jesus. He did the act of righteousness. by going to the cross, the obedience to the cross. His one, what, like one man's sin of Adam caused us to all be sinners. Jesus Christ's act of righteousness, obedience to the cross, causes all of us to be righteous when you receive Him. Isn't that great news? Now remember the much more. Anything else I got there? I think that wrapped it up. Okay. Freedom life. The emphasis in those scriptures, and even the one before it, is this, is that grace is so much more that it doesn't even compare. See, this is part of the problem. His grace is so much more than sin. The power of grace is so much greater than sin. And Scripture says over and over, much more, much more. And this is what I want to describe to you. You see, we're more acquainted with the power of sin than we are the power of righteousness. We're more acquainted with the power of darkness than we are the power of grace. But I'm here to tell you that grace is so much more, it's not even a comparison. The power of grace, the power of righteousness to set a man or a woman free completely, set us free. That's how big He is. God's will is for us to reign as kings in this life. You cannot reign as a king in this life if you're sick. Not like you could. You can't reign as a king in this life if you're just in poverty. You can't reign as a king in this life if you're full of self. Self is an enemy with God. Hey, I got to say this because this is what the sermon's on. You can't reign as a king in this life if you're negative-minded, if you're complaining, if you're negative. You can't reign as a king in this life if you have dark thoughts, foolish thoughts. You can't reign as a king in this life if you've got foolish and dark imaginations. If you have a dark heart, you cannot reign as a king. But I want to tell you, He shows us a way. Because His thanksgiving and esteeming the Lord, I want to tell you, will cause us to go north instead of south. And you can turn around. It's called repentance. It's called a turnaround. And I want to tell you, that's what God loves to do. He loves to be a turnaround in life. Hey, listen, if your life's full of sickness, you know what? The Lord can do a turnaround in your life. He's your healing. Hey, if your life is full of poverty, you know, He can do a turnaround in your life, and He can cause you to prosper. Okay, now sometimes that word gets so misused out there. Okay, but I want to say it like this. It might help you. The Lord's able to bring provision. Now, you probably might fit a little bit better. But I'm telling you, if you've had a negative mindset for your whole life, think about this little pastor's wife that I was telling about. Hey, see, the Lord set her free. And the Lord can set you free. And there needs to be a reprogram. Probably the most important thing that you can do after receiving Christ is the most important thing, receiving Christ as Savior. But then the next most important thing a believer can do is renew their mind to agree with the Word and to agree with what God says and to say it and to give allegiance to it and practice it. Because I want to tell you, this Word will not return void without accomplishing the desire of God's heart in your life. He will oversee it. He'll make it happen. And you'll have the testimony of other people. It was God that did it. All I did was cooperate. All I did was practice receiving it. All I did was practice believing it. We receive by believing, not by achieving. And so whenever stuff comes, celebrate the cross. Because it's His obedience that's our victory. He's the one that brings us into the love lane. And Thanksgiving's the entry ramp. Don't forget that. But the cross, He paid the obedience. That's because He loves us. And so enter the gate for all God has for you. This is one of the gates. It's not the only gate, but it's one of the gates. Thanksgiving helps us receive the finished work. It positions our heart in humility to receive. It actually unlocks grace and unmerited favor in every area of our life. Any area of your life can be restored. You say, well, the enemy stole from my life in this way. He stole from my life in this way. Whatever the enemy has stolen, God can restore. Let me tell you just real quick, when he restores, it's better than new. It's better than it was. That's how big our God is. And it will happen when you follow him. And so it's a Thanksgiving journey. For your Thanksgiving journey, have a Thanksgiving journal. Esteem him. Wisdom comes. Godly thinking. Hope and faith come. That's something God does in you. Not something we work up. Okay? Not something we exercise up. God gives it. And then we practice it. Your heart and mind's enlightened with the Lord, becomes more sensitive toward God. That's how God loves to work. I'm going to tell you real quick this story, and then we're going to get into some Thanksgiving as a body. And those of you that are watching and listening in, I'm going to encourage you to practice Thanksgiving every day. Start you a blessings journal. A.M. and P.M., spiritual exercises availeth much. And so let this be an entry ramp, a gate, a door to enter into what the Lord has for you. But you cannot overdo Thanksgiving. And so practice Thanksgiving to the Lord and practice giving thanks to people around you. Because one of the ways that we express thanks to God is by expressing thanks to people around us. That humility is so important because it causes you to depend on God. And he loves that. But this is a story of a man that was in my life. It was actually, he called me a brother, but I called him a dad. Because that's the type of influence that he had in my life. And when I went through the first marriage, ended up in divorce. I hate divorce. I'm against divorce. God hates divorce. It causes destruction. But I want to tell you, it happens. And when that happened in my life, and I never believed that it would, but when it happened in my life, I had a number of pastors and people that I administered to that quit me immediately. And he was one of them. I was illegal. And wasn't qualified to ever minister again, according to a lot of ministers, because I'd gone through divorce. But I want to tell you, over the years, and this was just even in the last few years, I just want to tell you, the Lord prompted me to send him a thanksgiving, to thank him. And the Lord put me on a journey to contact people in my life out of the past that had been a blessing to my life and had input in my life, and he was one of them, and to express thanksgiving to them. Okay? No excuses, no talking about situations of the past, just to express thanksgiving, to extend mercy and thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, he responded to that in a beautiful way. And I want to tell you, and my beautiful wife could tell you, and she won't tell you the name either, but this precious person since then has been a continual contact in my life and has shared over and over again how that I've been a blessing and I am a blessing to his life. Do you see that? Now I want to tell you, I'm just saying to you that Thanksgiving is a gate. That's what the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. But I want to tell you, the grace and the beauty of the Lord that floods your heart in thanksgiving causes you to see other people as God sees them. Not only do you get to see God, okay, in a clearer way, not only do you get to see your situations from a viewpoint of God, which makes a heaven of a lot of difference, but it will cause you to see other people as God sees them. And when you express the love lane, express love lane to them with thanksgiving, I want to tell you, God builds bridges. You better not be burning any. But if they burn their half of the bridge, I want to tell you, the love lane, the thanksgiving of the Lord, can be a gate for the Lord to restore that bridge that they've burned. Do you understand that? We've been completely at all and completely blessed to see how the Lord can use simple but very, very important principle of thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, it's not something you ever grow out of. Because I want to tell you, in heaven, there's a lot of thanksgiving going on. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much. I praise you. We glorify you. Lord, we honor you today. Lord, we esteem you. You are the highest in our life. Lord, you're the center of our life. Lord, you are worthy of thanksgiving. You're worthy of praise. Lord, it's our reasonable service. But Lord, you so enrich us when we practice thanksgiving. You bless us when we practice thanksgiving. Lord, thanksgiving is You've gifted us with thanksgiving as a weapon against the enemy. Thank you for the power that thanksgiving gives us over the power of darkness. That darkness is weak in the presence of thanksgiving. Lord, we give you praise. We celebrate that our heart can ever become more sensitive to you as we practice esteeming you, receiving those wisdom thoughts, receiving those imaginations of hope, and speaking forth what you say. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you for the victory. Thank you that you are causing us by your work to reign as kings in this life to bring you honor and glory. And all the people said,